Sarah represents grace. Abraham represents faith. How was Isaac born? By grace through faith. How were you born? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Welcome to Today in the Word from Moody Radio. I'm John Gager, the voice up front, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who has written dozens and dozens of classic books. Maybe you've read some of his books. Maybe you've heard him in the past as a Bible teacher or conference speaker. During the 1970s, he pastored the Moody Church in Chicago and served as the general director of Back to the Bible from 1984 to 1990. We've got other sketches of Warren Wiersbe you can read about at our website, todayintheWordRadio.org. Today's message is titled, Children of Promise. We're headed for Galatians chapter 4 and Genesis 21 and 22, a look at Isaac and Ishmael. The Apostle Paul used the birth narratives of Isaac and Ishmael as a picture of the new birth. Warren Wiersbe looks at the contrast between the two births and how they relate us to God. Speaking at Founders Week all the way back in 1989. Here's Warren Wiersbe. Let's join him today in the Word.
I recall with joy when in my early Christian life I discovered that the Old Testament made sense. As a new Christian, I could well understand reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of our Lord, and the book of Acts, witnessing to a lost world, Paul's epistles and Peter and John and Jude telling us how to live the Christian life and turn doctrine into practice. John's book of Revelation telling us about the coming of our Lord. But where in the world does the Old Testament fit in? In fact, I had a letter from a radio listener saying, "Why do you waste time preaching the Old Testament? It's all over." Well, the book of Acts is all over. But we preach the book of Acts as well. No, I discovered that for every New Testament doctrine, there is an Old Testament picture. The Old Testament is God's picture book. The nation of Israel was in its infancy, and the best way to teach children is through pictures, rewards, and punishment. And so throughout the Old Testament, God is helping his infant nation mature to the coming of their Messiah. Alas, they were not ready. But all God could do was show them pictures, reward them, and punish them. Now, in the New Testament, we still have a great many pictures. In fact, there are nearly 100 pictures of the Christian and of the church in the New Testament. You ought to study them out. But in the Old Testament, God is showing me in living experience what he explains to me in the New Testament. Where then in the Old Testament do we find this marvelous doctrine of the new birth? Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, "God has made me to laugh, and all who hear me will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she, Hagar, had borne to Abraham, scoffing. This, of course, is Ishmael. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman, her son, For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. The Apostle Paul took that event and he wrote a paragraph about it in Galatians chapter 4. And Paul tells us that this event has spiritual ramifications to it. It's not just ancient history. It is a present reality in the Christian life. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Paul is saying to us that those who have been born again, born from above, born by the Spirit, are, as Isaac was, children of promise. In other words, we may turn back to Genesis chapter 21, and we may see in this passage a picture of what my experience of the new birth is supposed to be. So let's do that. The comparisons are many, but we shall focus on just a few. First of all, and rather obviously, Isaac was born miraculously. When I read the morning newspaper in Lincoln, Nebraska, I pay no attention to the birth notices. If any of my friends who are my peers had babies come into their families, it would not be in the birth notices, it would be in the headlines. I'm coming to that point in life where I look at the obituaries to make sure my name is not there. This baby was born miraculously. Now, another baby had been born naturally, Ishmael. Abraham had listened to his wife Sarah, who said, why don't you have a child by Hagar? Perfectly legal, but not biblical. It was fine as far as the law was concerned, but not the will of God. And so Abraham's firstborn was actually born of the flesh. The first birth is born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You've noticed, I'm sure, as you read your Bible, that God has nothing much good to say about my first birth, my flesh. The flesh profits nothing, said the Lord Jesus. Paul wrote, having no confidence in the flesh. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. By the way, the first step toward victory in your life is accepting what God says about you. Once you've accepted that, from then on, it gets a little easier. You can look God in the face and say, Father, I know that in me, in spite of what people say, there's no good thing. The only good thing there is the good thing you put in there when I was born again. You see, God has rejected the firstborn and accepted the secondborn. He rejected Cain and chose Abel. He rejected Ishmael and chose Isaac. He rejected Esau and chose Jacob. And he rejected my first birth. But ever since my second birth, I've been accepted in the Beloved One. He was born miraculously according to promise. Galatians 4:29 says he was born of the Spirit. Ishmael was not born of the Spirit. Isaac was born by the power of the Spirit of God. In Romans 4, Paul describes the situation, how that Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead as far as physical power was concerned. God waited until these two could not say, look what we did. God waited until they had to say, oh God, if it happens, you're going to have to do it. Now let's take a little excursion into Paul's allegory. He says we have here two mothers, Sarah and Hagar. Sarah represents the Jerusalem above, grace. Hagar represents the Jerusalem then on earth, law. Isaac represents the children who are born of God, born of Sarah. Ishmael represents that first birth of the flesh, slavery and bondage. Isn't this interesting? Sarah represents grace. Abraham represents faith. How was Isaac born? By grace through faith. How were you born? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Isaac is called a child of promise. In what sense is he a child of promise? In the same sense you are a child of promise if you are saved. Namely, you believe the promise of God. Abraham staggered not in unbelief, but he laid hold of the promise of God, and he said, there will be a son. Now, that's the way I was saved. I was not saved by making promises to God. I was saved by believing the promises God made to me. And you know what? When I believed on Jesus Christ through the promise of the Word, a new life came in. Isaac was born within me. He was born miraculously. Secondly, he was born to bring joy. Notice that? The baby is born, and the father is rejoicing, and the mother is rejoicing, and the family around the larger family of Abraham's entourage was rejoicing, and the word was spreading that a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman have had a baby. In fact, the name Isaac means laughter. You'll recall that Abraham laughed. And he was just rejoicing when the message was given to him. Your wife is going to have a son. And he laughed in joy. Sarah laughed in unbelief behind the tent. Remember that? And the Lord Jesus said to Abraham, why did your wife laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yes, you did. But now it's the laughter of joyful blessing. It's so interesting to notice in Scripture that the giving of a baby from God is looked upon as a marvelous gift to bring joy. I was reading in Psalm 139, a psalm you know. It talks about when I was conceived in my mother's womb. It talks about how God knew all about my genetic structure. How that when I was conceived, God turned that womb into a holy of holies. His presence was there. The angel said to Mary, "The power of the highest shall overshadow you." And that's the word that's used for the Holy of Holies. And Mary's womb and every mother's womb becomes a Holy of Holies if you accept children as the gift of God. The sad thing is that today in America, we are turning the womb into a tomb. And we'll pay for it. The blood of the innocents will be vindicated someday. His birth involved joy. Now, your birth ought to involve joy. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice as we look ahead, the hope of the glory of God. And we glory in tribulations also. We rejoice as we look around and say, well, life is tough, but glory to God. I'm a Christian. The Lord has cleansed us from our sins. He's given us His nature. He has written our names in heaven. He has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us, keep us out of trouble. And we have so much to rejoice in. This is why the Scripture keeps saying, rejoice in the Lord. We can't always rejoice in circumstances, but we can rejoice in the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of joy, written by a physician, begins with joy. Elizabeth is rejoicing, and Mary is rejoicing, and even the unborn John the Baptist is rejoicing. He leaps for joy in his mother's womb. And then the angels are rejoicing. We bring you good tidings of great joy. And then the shepherds are rejoicing. And as you go through the Gospel of Luke, you find joy, joy. Zacchaeus rejoices as Jesus invites himself into his house. And of course, Luke 15, which is the lost and found chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it's just loaded with joy. The woman rejoices that she finds her lost coin, and she calls her neighbors to rejoice with her. And the shepherd rejoices that he finds the lost sheep. I'm sure the sheep was also rejoicing. I don't know how sheep rejoiced, but I'm sure he was rejoicing. And he calls all of his friends to rejoice with him. The father rejoiced when the younger son came home. And everybody in that chapter is having a great time except the elder brother. He wouldn't rejoice. He was angry. Birth involves joy. I was asked recently about the devotional life, the Christian's devotional life. I do trust that before you stepped out into the world today, you spent some time with the Lord. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you read the Word of God? Now, why do we spend time at the beginning of the day meeting with our Lord? Well, everybody tells us we should do it. That's a good reason, but not the best reason. I can tell you why I do it. I don't always succeed, but I spend time daily with my Lord so that when I step out of my study door, I'm happy with the will of God. I don't always show it. Sometimes by noon I have lost it, but when I walk out of that door, I want to say, Lord, I'm not complaining. I want to be happy in your will. I don't want to be like Jonah, go because I have to. I want to go because I want to. Doing the will of God from the heart. Not just doing the will of God, but doing it from your heart. Birth involves joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you enjoy what God is doing in your life and you enjoy doing what He wants you to do, you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I notice a third comparison here. His sonship was sealed. Abraham obeyed God's commandment and had his son circumcised. Now, he was already a son. This made him a child of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And God said, if they don't have this mark of the covenant, they cannot get my blessing. Now, when I was born into God's family, he did not give me a physical mark. He gave me a spiritual sealing. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit of God who has sealed us to the day of redemption. And if ever Isaac had any question, do I belong to the covenant that Almighty God has made with my father? He had that mark to remind him. And whenever you and I have a doubt that comes and Satan throws a fiery dart and says, you don't belong to God, you're not in God's family. Well, if you were in God's family, you would never have said that. You would never have lost your temper there. You can't be in God's family. And then you turn to the Lord and you open his word and there's the Spirit of God within who has sealed us to the day of redemption, who is the down payment of our inheritance, the first installment, and the Word of God witnesses to you and the Spirit of God witnesses to you that you are a child of God. If you do not have that witness of the Spirit within, beware. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You may have an enthusiastic spirit. You may have a religious spirit. You may have a devotional, pious spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the seal of the covenant.
Dr. Warren Wiersbe speaking at Founders Week 1989 with Today in the Word. You know, no matter how long you and I have walked with God, we are never done learning. I was just a couple of weeks ago with a 97-year-old man who is still learning, by his own admission. There's always room to discover more about the majesty and mystery of God. And as we learn to walk with him in faith, we begin to grow up. That's one of our motivations for offering you a special relationship with Moody Publishers as you support Today in the Word financially. With your auto gift, that's what we call a monthly partner gift at a level of $30 or more, you'll have immediate access to Moody Publishers at a 50% discount. This puts you in touch with some of the finest resources in the world. To become a monthly partner right now with your auto gift, call 877-863-2909. 877-863-2909. Every gift keeps this ministry going. Every gift is an expression of your vote of confidence and your request to keep this thing on the air. You can also be a part of our monthly partner program with your auto gift of $30 a month or more by going online to todayintheWordRadio.org. Trust me, you will love what you see in the Moody Publishers resources. Again, at 50% off for you as you give this auto gift. todayintheWordRadio.org. I'm John Gager, inviting you to listen at this same time Wednesday when Pastor Warren Wiersbe is back with his message, Children of Promise. That's Today in the Word, a production of Moody Radio in Chicago.